The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Happy spiritual birthday to me. Happy spiritual birthday to me. We'll get into that a little bit later. Some people, by the way, believers even, look at their circumstances and conclude that God hates them. Some people need therapy. Also, what defines a successful ministry according to God?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Really focusing in on that last one. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Really focusing in on that last one. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities. Really focusing in on that last one. And away they so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. They are 10 numbers that can lead you to the right answer, to prayer requests, to praise reports, anything along those lines, because any topic is open for conversation. The reason for that? It's not professional radio. It's brother, it's sister, it's brother and sister under the Lord radio. The best we can do, the best we got. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. That's interesting. The David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right, we're going to do our sponsor read in the next segment. So I'm kind of letting Wonder Julie know that by saying that live on the air so she doesn't have to worry about when to push the button. Is that a good way to do that? Let me just tag this story real fast. World Series. I watched for the first time in ages a couple of innings. And it was real good when it was 2-1.
Yeah, in the very first inning was really exciting. Then I fell asleep. I had to get up for some personal business at about 10:30. I turned it back on. It was the ninth inning.
Yeah.
Not so much fun.
So my understanding is tonight is the
final.
Big one. This is the big seven-game series. Now, you might not be a big baseball fan, but you might be a Texas fan.
Right.
And that would be my argument.
And guess who gets to say play ball?
Who gets to say play ball?
Matthew McConaughey, Texas guy.
He gets to say play ball, like, yep. Play ball!
Yep.
Really? Does he do it like when he's in one of those Cadillac things? Where he
All right. That was Dazed and Confused.
Yes, is that what that was? Okay. I thought that was my life, Dazed and Confused. Oh, I'm sorry. That was also an album. For those that remember those days. Bottom line, go Houston. It's the Astros still, right? They still call them the Astros?
Yeah, 7:02, I think it starts.
Wow. All right. So we hope that they do well. Because we're from Texas. I did find out something yesterday very, very fascinating, and this is, I'm going to take it right away. I thought that in baseball you had to play 2 years in order not to be a rookie. I was wrong. You have to have 130 at-bats to not be a rookie in baseball. And then I thought, well, we just did our 150th show 3 or 4 weeks ago, so I'm not a rookie.
No longer a rookie.
No longer a rookie.
So no mistakes.
I'm in a world of hurt now. I will tell you, for a national holiday, there's two of them. One we probably not going to mention, but the other one we're going to mention, you know what it is?
No.
It's National Candy Corn Day.
Ew.
You don't like candy corn?
Ugh.
Okay.
No.
How do you really feel about that? Also, on today in 1938, the War of the Worlds was broadcast.
Ooh, scary.
Where people thought it was a real thing and then nationwide panic. I've always thought, and I'm going to tell you this now in case we ever do it, that it would be so cool to do a Christian broadcast, like a live broadcast like this, but have it be like a rapture took place. Which, of course, then you'd hear nothing. Or have it be like where there's persecution taking place. Okay, they're pulling me out of the studio. You know, that kind of thing. I just think that would be fascinating for people to actually hear it and think about, wow, that's the kind of, I think that way. Also, for those that really care, Gus Boder, most people have no idea who that is. You wouldn't know in a million years, but this is an excellent trivia question you can use if you're ever in a situation wanting to show yourself really smart. He had his National Hockey League debut and scored his first goal within 15 seconds of the start of the game.
Way to go, Gus.
That's impressive right there. And all downhill after that.
Yeah.
But still, he's still in the books. And then on this day in 1960, first successful kidney transplant took place in United Kingdom. And just the other day, though, the first successful remove his kidney took place in United Kingdom because they don't stick with it. They're free speech right up until they don't like it. Which doesn't mean free speech, if you understand what that means. And then finally, Muhammad Ali beat George Foreman on this day in 1974 in the Rumble in the Jungle. That's pretty good. All righty. I got trivia. I got a lot of different stuff I want to cover. I do want to talk about this situation, about our situations. But before we do that, let us at least have the opportunity to give people a chance to respond. Typically, we don't get a response in our first segment. We understand it takes people a while to get their minds going. But we will ask this very, very fruitful question. Paul made reference in 1 Corinthians to the more excellent way. What is the more excellent way? Found in 1 Corinthians, that's all I'm going to tell you. What is the more excellent way? He said, now I will show you a more excellent way. What is that? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. I want to talk to you about situations. Oh, I should tell you, I'm 41 years old today. In the Lord. So 41 years ago, I said, yes, Lord, and the church has been paying ever since. thank you.
Happy birthday to you.
Very nice of you to play that. Here's the bottom line. I don't really get birthday presents, but I always remember fondly the moment I said yes, because that next three months was a lot of God going, time to change, time to change. Yeah, that was kind of a weird process. All right, let's get into this text. I want to get into it just a little bit. I want to talk to you about circumstances which we interpret. And I think there's a valid point to say that Christians will go through things, and because we believe all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose, because we believe that. We believe it. We believe that God weaves into the situation. It doesn't look good. It doesn't often feel good. It doesn't seem good. It's in those situations God is weaving. If I'm using the wrong English narratives to explain that, I apologize. I think you get the idea. Nothing looks bright and cheery all the time. The only thing the Christian can use or is allowed to use is that it will ultimately become good because that's God. That's how God will make it. But what does take place while we go through that process till we get to a praise point is fairly straightforward. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 27 shows the children of Israel and how they responded in their circumstance. Here's what they said. And you grumbled in your tents. This is Mo giving a recount. That's Mo, for those that don't know who Mo is. You grumbled in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. The children of Israel, for a period of time when they were going through the desert, had miracles, had wonderful things taking place, but they were doing a lot of wandering, right? They were wandering here and wondering about this, and they were wondering about this and wandering over here. It's kind of like it goes both ways. Well, they got into a situation where they were going to have some warfare that was going to take place, and here the children of Israel interpreted their circumstance through the lens of God not liking them. And I want you to grasp why that's important. The amount of time that the Lord put into the children of Israel to deliver them to the day out of Egypt, to deliver them from bondage, to free them and establish them as a nation. He picked them. He selected them. He, off of Abraham's offspring, he chose a nation that would represent him. He specifically aligned them with him. He brought them into alignment with him. He sent them a prophet. He sent them deliverance. He gave them grace. He split the Red Sea. I don't think people realize how big of a miracle that really was. But he split the waters so that they walked across, not on muddy land, but on dry land. And they get to a point in the journey where the situation looks like it's tanking. And their conclusion or interpretation is that this situation stinks and it's happening to us because God hates us. And I think it's too often that a Christian will think, well, the Lord must be mad at me because my situation and circumstance isn't all roses and tulips and candies, and I don't see Ferris wheels and rainbows. There's got to be something wrong. And that is not the case. In fact, Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7 says, "For the Lord your God has blessed you in all that you've done. He has known your wanderings through this great wilderness." God knows that you're going through certain things at certain times and allows that for purpose, for a reason, for a construct that will help you reflect Jesus Christ. That is all positive, but you and I don't see the end result. I give a quick shout out to people that do diets like me. So Wonder Julie's doing a diet. She's lost a mega pound. She's doing fantastic in it. Guess, I'm going to take a guess. When you first started the diet, it looked daunting. Didn't it look like, ay, right?
It still looks daunting.
Still looks daunting. But you're doing fantastic.
Yeah.
And so you've lost it. But think about when you first start, it's like, ooh, here we go. And it's kind of like a ride on at a carnival that you don't want to take.
And you always seem to gorge yourself the day before a diet's going to start.
Isn't that just the way it is?
Yep.
And so what I'm trying to bring up is we go through this in our minds, in our process, examining our circumstances, thinking, oh my goodness, the Lord must hate us. Because look how bad this is, which has got nothing. It's not even close to the truth. But we're interpreting the circumstance through our filter. Here's what the Lord says. I love you. I'm committed to you. I know you're going through wanderings, but I'm with you and will bring you to your desired haven. God doesn't hate you. He's working through you, with you, in you, and for you. That's what you got to remember. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Trade tensions, stock market volatility. You don't want to go down the wrong path on anything, but especially involving your retirement. Retirement Strategies and Solutions with Jamie Blumenthal puts you on the right path so you can plan right, and retire the right way. Call Jamie at 800-287-1667 or go to retiretherightway.com for financial peace of mind, wisdom, and safety regarding your retirement. Are you getting older, retired, or retiring soon? Do you have an IRA or 401k? You want to make sure your retirement money is safe. Money in the stock market is unprotected from loss. Sake money or no-so money is protected. For a free copy of his book and a free get-together with no obligation, talk with Jamie. Call him at 800-287-1667 or go to retiretherightway.com. That's retiretherightway.com.
is the David Spoon Experience.
Or the president of Focus on the Family. When you got that position, I'm talking the initial moment that you knew you were getting that position, were you thinking, what?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. Given my background, I was going, no, no, no. In fact, I got home, said to my wife, Jean, this is what I've been asked today. And she looked at me and said, who would have thunk it? That summed it up. That was that entire day. I was just like, oh, my goodness. My wife and I used to pray for the poor guy coming behind Dr. Dobson.
Now you were praying for yourself. You didn't even know it.
That's exactly right. Does he have a sense of humor or what?
That's great stuff. Excellent material and an excellent interview, Jim. I really appreciate it. You did a great job, and I just want to thank you from my whole heart just for all the work that you're doing, for the people that you're blessing, and for this project that you guys have been working on Irreplaceable. Nice job.
Thanks, David.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, where we're going to bring home the World Series. I hope. If not, it's okay. Won't be the end of the world. But we hope that they are able to be victorious. Houston Astros over the Washington Senators. No, wait, Washington Nationals. Isn't Washington Nationals? Aren't people in Washington going, that's not politically correct to use the word national?
I'm sure someone there in Washington saying that.
Yeah, I know. I heard about the alphabet, that people don't like the alphabet anymore. Did you hear that story?
No.
Oh, this is a great one. They don't like the song because it goes MN, how it does that little fast.
Elemental.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, A, J, K, Elemental, P. Mm-hmm. They say, that's not fair. I think Q is the one that rose its hand and said, I think it's not fair. Because nobody likes Q. Q is like, needs another letter just to make a sound. It's a rebellion amongst the alphabet. You know how my mom used to get the last word in? She served us alphabet soup. All right, so see, that's if you think it's funny, I love you. If you don't, I'm not going to explain it. Email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Website davidspoonmedia.com. Yes, we have kind of lost our minds. We're having a good time. It is my 41st spiritual birthday, so I get to do whatever I want. Here we go. We are going to acknowledge our sponsor, Clint, over with the gang at Mr. Restore.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Fire and water damage cleanup, smoke cleanup, sewage removal, other restoration services in and around the Dallas area, the Denton area, the Grapevine area, the Fort Worth area, the entire Texas area. Here's the bottom line. If you've got anything going on where you need help, or if you're a realtor and hey, I need these people, they need some help. If anybody needs help in regards to getting some cleanup, getting some restoration services, Mr. Restore is the place you want to go. They are the people to do it. They will help you. They will walk you through it. Let's just understand, they do free evaluations. They have advanced drying technologies. They work with all the insurance companies. They are A-plus rated with the BBB, and they have thousands of happy customers. That would be the key. Their website, MrRestore.com. That's MrRestore.com. You can also access them through our website, davidspoonmedia.com, because we have a link to them. Their phone number, 877-631-7576. I know it's a phone number, but it's okay. 877-631-7576. Mr. Restore at MrRestore.com. I'm going to try and get Clint back in here so we can have an opportunity to talk and to share with him. Great brother, great testimony, working on some great things, especially their nonprofit that he works with, the Adaptive Training Foundation. We're going to try and get him in and talk about that. Okie dokie. We're going back to our trivia, and our trivia question was straightforward. Paul, in the letter to the Church of Corinth, he made a reference in one of the most important chapters in regards to Christianity. It's placed right there when everybody's talking about the gifts. All right, that's what he's talking about, the gifts. I'm not going to tell you what chapter it is, but it's sufficient to say it's a lot of wedding stuff. What is the more excellent way that Paul refers to in 1 Corinthians? What is that way? Ooh. 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. What is the most excellent way that Paul was referring to? I want to talk about success. In our nation, we have some very specific definitions for success. And about 95% of American definitions of success have to do with money or power or fame. The Bible does not define success in those terms. Americans do, and don't get it wrong, love America, love, love, love this nation, greatest nation I've ever been born into. Okay, that was a joke. But greatest nation ever, I'd like to see when Israel had silver was as common as rocks. I'd like to see what that economic status was. I'm always fascinated by that because that would be really weird. But just a incredibly blessed nation, graceful, full of mercy, full of the mercy of God. Done a lot of things wrong, done a lot of things right, done a lot of things, period. Just fantastic. But the definition that we give people for success is not a biblical definition. That is not the right way to go about it. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 15 says this: "So I took the heads of your tribes, wise and experienced men, and appointed them heads over you, leaders of thousands and of hundreds and of fifties and of tens, and officers for your tribes." This is Moses talking about what? He's talking about leaders of groups. In our society, we say a church is successful by the numbers, by the dollars, by this or by that. There is a problem with our definition of doing that, and that is it is not in sync with the Word of God. If the Lord appointed people over thousands and hundreds and fifties and tens, does that not necessitate that somebody can be as faithful over 10 as somebody can be as faithful over 1,000? Yet if you have a church of 10 people and you have a church of 1,000 people, there are few Christians that say they can be equally successful. And that's the problem. The trouble there is that we've put it into numbers. Hey, I got a message for you. You're not going to like it, but it is a reality check. If it's by the numbers, there's a whole bunch of cults that God has blessed. Is that what you want to go with? That's a very dangerous place to be. Do you know what makes a successful Christian? You might be thinking, well, they have a nice house, a nice car, they've got this, or generally they're happy. I'm going to tell you, none of those things are what define a successful Christian as successful. You know what a successful Christian is? An obedient Christian. That's a successful Christian. A person who says, yes, Lord, and does it. A person who builds on the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ and puts those teachings into action, that is a successful ministry or a successful Christian. It's the things that God loves to see is obedience and loyalty and serving and loving. It's sacrifice and honesty and caring and believing. And don't misunderstand, somebody who's in church of in charge of thousands of people can have all those qualities. And somebody who has all of those same qualities can be in charge of 50 or hundreds or whatever. It's not the numbers that define it. It's the person's heart to the Lord and how they engage with the kingdom of God and how they follow the will of God. Somebody over a church of 10 can be completely rebellious or can be absolutely stellar faithful. Same with a church of 100 or of 50 or thousands or of tens of thousands. Those things mean nothing. Because when God evaluates, he's not going to go, you had a pretty impressive church there. The church is God's people. He's not going to say that anybody had an impressive anything. He's going to evaluate based on what he knows. And so we understand, and let's say you're a person, you've done business, and it's not as successful as, you're not as successful as Amazon. That doesn't mean that you're not successful in God's definition. You're just not as successful in America's definition. You might say, well, that's also the world's definition, Dave. Yeah, but friendship with the world puts you in an enemy-style relationship with God. So what you want is you want the biblical definition, the true definition, the faithful definition that God lays out, not that other people lay out. Here's some of the things that we need to grasp, that we need to hang on to. Deuteronomy 4:9 says, give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently so you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and your grandsons. The things that the Lord, and let me say this right now, the things the Lord has done in your life, remember those things, keep in mind those things, cherish those things, communicate those things, pass those things on, let it never depart from your heart. That's what's going to make you successful in the mind and heart of God. Remember Saul? Oh, I did everything I was supposed to do. And then he's like, hey, what's the bleeding of the sheep that I hear was Samuel's response. To obey is better than sacrifice. Obedience is how you reach success in the kingdom of God. And ironically, the most successful is the biggest servant of all. Isn't that amazing? Completely the opposite of the world. Deuteronomy 1:15, I have placed leaders of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. It's not the number. It's the faithfulness unto the Lord. That's true for you. That's true for me. Do we take that which the Lord has given us? Are we faithful with what he's given us? That's the ticket. Okay? All right. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break. Then we're coming back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
There was a pastor, now I use that word with some reservation, having been involved in ministry and having the privilege of planting seven churches throughout the United States and having three separate ordinations, I have a tremendous amount of respect for people who commit their lives into ministry. But whenever there's somebody on television or anywhere else that is a nut job, then I just call it like I see it. Okay, that's what I call it. Call it like I see it. On the Sean Hannity show, roughly about 2 weeks ago, a reverend, so-called Reverend Oliver White was on the show, and Reverend Wright said this, and I'm going to repeat it because some of these things are just unbelievable. He said that Jesus was wrong about marriage. At least he didn't have the audacity to say he never said anything about marriage. He said Jesus was wrong about marriage and that marriage should be more than between a man and a woman. And then he proceeded to say this statement, ladies and gentlemen. He said this. Now, this isn't even the thing that's irritating. Then he proceeded to say this. If Jesus were alive today,
He said he would say, "I didn't know it all." This is a man who's supposed to be representing Jesus Christ as a minister. This guy's no minister. And if you want to say, well, that's judging, I'll take that judgment all day long. All day long, I'll take that judgment, no matter what anybody says. Here's a guy that says two things. One, Jesus was wrong about marriage. Two, if Jesus were alive today, any person who proclaims or professes to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and questions whether Jesus Christ is alive today or not is not a minister, but a false teacher. I don't care. I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you think that's mean. That's irrelevant. Facts are facts. And here's the thing that just overwhelms me. This overwhelms me, ladies and gentlemen. Any person who is in public office, now this goes with this, all three of these things go together. Any person who is in public office who changes their convictions about same-sex marriage because another family member has made a decision to go into the lifestyle of being gay or lesbian, any person who changes their convictions, their biblical Christian convictions, based on another family member changing their status into a gay or lesbian lifestyle, and then that person then changes their Bible convictions to accommodate their family member, is not fit to be a Christian. That's right. I said it. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Our email, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Website, David Spoon Media. Facebook, David Spoon Media. YouTube, David Spoon Media. We have open for about 10 seconds the Gmail account that gives you the opportunity to complain about the show. It's, hey, I really don't like that Dave guy. I really don't like his show. I really want to say something about it @gmail.com. You have 5 seconds left before it closes. See what you can do with that. Do we have the count, the children count song? Can
one,
we play?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
It doesn't even take you 10 seconds to spend some, I love that, to spend some time in the morning and say to the Lord, Lord, I present myself, use me in Jesus' name. Ready? I'm gonna say it, and I'm going to time it right on. I have a clock right in front of me. Lord, I present myself, use me in Jesus' name. And I even stalled on that, and that was 8 seconds. 10 seconds to present yourself before the Lord to be used each and every day as he sees fit. I'm thinking we can do that. I'm a strong believer that that is something that we can do as a group, as believers. We can present ourselves to be used by the Lord. We don't know how he's going to use us. That's not our job, is to tell him how to use us. Our job is to present ourselves. Romans chapter 5, or Romans chapter 6, verse 13. To be presenting ourselves as instruments of righteousness, which, by the way, the New King James in the subtext and the text that's an alternate reading says weapons, which I thought was interesting. So to present yourself not just as instruments of righteousness, but weapons of righteousness. Ooh, that's where you start to get serious, right? All right. All right, the question that is on the table, which I am never, I'm not leaving questions anymore. That's how I am. I don't know if I'm just too lazy. It's not true. I have 6 other questions right here. I just want to hear the answer because it blesses me to hear these answers, and it encourages me as well. What is the most excellent way that Paul referred to in 1 Corinthians? What way is that? The way of what? What is the most excellent way for my Bible readers in 1 Corinthians? Swishing around the old gift-a-roo chapter-roo-ies. You can find it. 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Let us talk about something that I find it important. And I think being on my 41st spiritual birthday, it has some validity to it, and it's something that I want to cover. Comes out of Numbers chapter 33, verse 3. It says this: they journeyed from Ramesses in the first month on the 15th day of the first month. And on the next day after the Passover, the sons of Israel started out boldly in the sight of all the Egyptians. That's wow. It's the first month and the 15th day of the first month. After that was that's when the journey began. And the next day after Passover, the sons of Israel started out boldly in the sight of all the Egyptians. Started out boldly. What do you mean started out boldly? Because there are many people that start in the faith and start out boldly. And the difficulty is catching that people can start boldly, but it's not how you start. It's how you finish. So for anybody who plays golf out there, you when you start the hole off when you're playing golf, you usually hit a driver. And the saying is, you drive for show. I don't know if Wonder Julie knows the saying or not. You drive for show, but you... Do you know what the saying is? No?
No.
You drive for show, but you putt for dough. You drive for show. Everybody likes to have a nice drive.
Yeah, I don't do any of it for dough because yeah. I'm not that good.
Yeah. Well, I can throw the ball at the hole. I'm really good at that. I'm a lefty, so it's just a disaster no matter what, you know. I actually have spent time talking to Phil Mickelson and his sister, and I'm just, you know, he's a lefty but can use a golf club. I'm just a lefty.
Well, he's actually right-handed, but he shoots left.
Is that, yeah, see, that's what I see. I bat lefty, but I throw righty. Yeah. I'm just like, so, you know, it's like, what's my brain fried or something? I don't know. Anyhow, so you drive for show. Sorry, you can go back to that. Drive for show, but you putt for dough. It's not how you start; it's how you finish. This is it's really applicable to marriages. It's not how you start. It's not the first year. It's not the honeymoon. So what happened that the children of Israel started out boldly and then kind of maybe went the wrong direction? Life happens. Things happen that take place that you're not anticipating. It's kind of like a new job. You get all excited, so on and so forth. I can give you a witness to this as my wife has gone through this a few different times. You get into it. She's super excited. She got her name tag. They even gave her a special name tag. So nice of them. They don't pay her for it, but you know it's a special name tag. And then she starts out, it's great, great, great. And then the reality of the job hits. And it's like, wow, that was a lot of fun. Now it's not fun. Depending on your job, that could go in the first hour. So what I'm trying to say to you is that life happens. Things change. You don't see how it's going to go. And life can be a drainer depending on what's going on. I mean, just be honest. Just going the distance, going places. Sometimes for some of us after we're tired, getting up gets hard. Driving gets hard. I mean, it's things happen. Life happens. There's another reason that people start out boldly and then they kind of drop off by the way. That's called sin. Sin, you can say all you want about sin. You can give all the theology in the world, which I happen to enjoy the study of hamartia. I think is a fascinating study. And hamartia is the Greek word for missing the mark. But the truth of the matter is that sin engaged by believers is self-destructive. And that's just the reality. The reality is that when you and I get caught up in sin, it's self-destructive more than anything else. Some people are like, well, I don't really think I have any besetting sins. Okay, here, I'll help you. When I say the phrase besetting sin, which one comes to mind? That's your besetting sin. The sin that sets you to the side. But it's self-destructive more than anything else. Jesus has given us freedom from the power of sin, from the penalty of sin, soon to be from the presence of sin. But whenever we engage in it, we're self-mutilating. We're beating ourselves up. And it's one of the reasons why people start off boldly and then they kind of, not as strong as they used to be. There's another place where we find struggle in that, and it's in the world. The world, in its own system, is the enemy of God. If you've not read James chapter 4, verse 4, you ought to. It's not the people, per se, as much as the system or the spirit of the system of the world. It's not the individuals. Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but there is a spirit that drives the world. And that spirit is one of defiance against God. It's ironic because in the world, the worldly system makes an allegiance with Satan. But the Christian allegiance makes an allegiance with Jesus. It's just kind of an amazing element. Well, the world takes pot shots at us all the time. They try and, you know, they'll take bits and pieces of scripture. I mean, they used to put on magazines, they were talking about the LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ movement, and they would say, judge not on the face of times. Well, why don't you read the whole passage? And in fact, why don't you start with the first passage that Jesus gave everybody a message on? Repent. Well, they're not going to tell you that. That doesn't fit their system. The world, they're the enemy of God. That drains from you and I starting boldly and maintaining that boldness. There's another place where that boldness can get emptied out. So you got sin, you got the world, and you got the enemy. The enemy don't like you. I don't have to use good English to tell you that Satan doesn't like you. Did you say yes to Jesus? You're on his list. Well, I never experienced spiritual warfare. That's how good Satan is if you make that statement. That's how good he is at draining you and you don't even know it. Wow. It's like, what? Yeah, that's a big part of it. Satan doesn't come to you and then go, hi, I'm Satan. I'm here to drain your life. Ha ha, shake. You know, that's not how it's going. He uses every tool he can. And oh, by the way, does he know mankind? I don't know. He's been working on us since the garden. You'd think he knows quite a bit on how to push the buttons in us. So the reason that people will start out boldly and then sometimes fade is sin is self-destructive. The world is opposed to God, trying to make little g the big G. If you didn't catch that, the enemy is against us. Well, guess what? Even though that's the case, we started off boldly. We need to finish boldly. That's the call. We need to finish as bold as we started. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Paul writing in 2 Timothy, his last letter, knowing that he was going to go, knowing that he was checking out soon. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. That starting out boldly, we need to maintain that boldness. It doesn't have to be an arrogance, but it does have to be a strength. Christians are not supposed to be annoying and irritating, but we're not supposed to be marshmallows either. You're not a marshmallow. You're a lion. The great thing about the lion is he doesn't have to roar all the time. It's like, yeah, just when he needs what he gets, when he's got to get it rolling. I'm encouraging you to maintain the boldness that the Lord put in you when you started this fight. Be, like Paul says, pray, God, give me the boldness to finish strong. Pray, 2 Timothy 4:7. It's good prayer. Good place to be. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we're coming back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water damage, call Mr. Restore.
Why does Sally sell seashells by the seashore when anyone can pick them up on the beach for free? What does she sell them for? I don't understand.
The David Spoon Experience.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Do you know how you keep going? Do you know how you keep putting one foot in front of the other? Do you know how you don't give up? Do you know how you don't quit even though you want to quit? You fix your eyes on Jesus. You see with God. When Peter went out of that boat and stepped on that water, there is no natural principle in the world, in any normal universe, that would allow Peter to walk on water. But he did one thing well. He looked at Jesus. And as he was looking at Jesus, the Bible says he walked on the water. He looked at his situation, just focusing at Jesus. Then he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he saw the winds and the waves, and he sank. He lost the correct attitude when he stopped seeing with Jesus in the picture. Whatever you see, whatever you face, whatever you encounter, do not see it or face it in the natural. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So everything you see, you must insert the picture of Jesus.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to reach us, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Website, davidspoonmedia.com. Who was that fiery preacher? You should see when I get going. It's like, wow, somebody... give him Ritalin or something. Anyway, bottom line, I want to make sure that people understand that if you don't know the day that you were born again, if you don't know the day that you made a decision to accept Jesus Christ, if you don't have something specific, that doesn't mean that you can't celebrate the years and the years that the Lord has given you in graciousness, in his kindness, in his love. It's okay for you to say, well, I think it was around here, I think it was around this, and you pick something to celebrate it. If you're a day off or a week off or even a month off, it's not like God's up there going, oh, I'm so mad. They're trying to celebrate being a Christian, and they've missed my day by 30 minutes or by 30 hours or 30 days or 30 weeks. Who cares? You pick a day to celebrate the time that you came into a greater understanding. You pick a time to acknowledge the moment that you said, yes, Lord. That's just honoring before the Lord. That's a good thing, not a bad thing. So I'm doing my devotions today. I'm going to get in trouble for this. So I'm doing my devotions today, and I have the Lord. I don't want to say he speaks to me the way that he's spoken to me in an absolute concrete way that if anybody else was in the room, they probably would have heard it kind of thing. Probably about 10 times in 40 years. I mean, I would say, you know, that many throughout that time. But I also get these things, and I think most people get them. They're whispers from the what you would call gracelets. And I often think they're the Holy Spirit-oriented, where they help you focus or help your brain get into the right place or help your spirit get into the right place. You know, it's your heart and your mind, and we're not trying to get technical. We're trying to just walk in the Lord. And somehow the Lord takes your heart and your mind and merges them and then communicates to you. And you think, wow. I really need to use that, or I need to have that insight, or I need to, you know, that's really, you know, profound, and so on. So I'm praying, and, you know, it's easy to do a review and to be superbly appreciative, and then I think I was doing that pretty well, and I'm very thankful. I'm really sorry for the sins that I committed against God. I mean, I'm generally, it's like, I wish I'd never did anything wrong against the Lord. I don't seem to care as much about people doing it against people, but I really don't want to offend the Lord. I just, in my heart, it's like, I don't want to do that. And so then, you know, as I'm in my communion time, you know, I get this very strong impression. I think that's the only, I don't know if it was really spidey senses or all that kind of thing, but I think it was really just, you know, something of a question, kind of an affirming question, like, have I ever failed you? And you think, in that 41 years, no. No, he's never failed me. Never failed me. And then I thought, well, that's highly arrogant for me to say, I'm saying God hasn't failed me. What an arrogant thing for me to say as a believer. And immediately came Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 31. I mean, just like, what? Says this, for the Lord your God is a compassionate God. He will not fail you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant with your fathers, which he swore to them. So I get this impression that the Lord's trying to tell me, have I ever failed you? Kind of like asking a question, and I'm like, no. Is that too arrogant for me to even say that, Lord? And then the next thing that happens is you get a verse that says he will not fail you. Like, how awesome is that? It's awesome. Come on. Do we got somebody on the phone? We do. And we're going to bring them in. Who am I talking to?
This is Daniel.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, sir. Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. So are you ready to answer this question, the big trivia question?
I believe he's alluding to the next chapter about charity.
That's right. That's exactly right. So a lot of people will interpret charity as love, although I think the King James did a better job in capturing the word charity because it's a much greater depth of sacrifice and desire to bless other people than just the word love, which I think our country is kind of, or our language is kind of ruined a little bit. But that is 100% correct. Did you know it right away?
I was taught that word agape is the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation.
Yeah. I think when you talk about it, I get concerned, you know, like, because people will throw around different theologies and different terms. And it's like, look, you got to understand love according to God's terms, not according to people's terms. Excellent job, my friend. Very good.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate you calling in and you telling us and giving us the answer.
Bless you.
All right. God bless you, brother.
Talk to you soon.
All right, so that's really the key right there. What is that? What is a more excellent way? The way of love, the way of charity, the way of genuinely caring. God's love is so cool, though. See, his love is all about the best interests of others. In our universe, love is when we feel good. It's like, nah, it's not right. It's got to be more than that. All right, let me go back. Good job, by the way, on answering that trivia question. Thank you so much. Here's what I want to get back to. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 31. For the Lord your God is compassionate God. He will never fail you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant with your fathers, which he swore to them. First and foremost, we understand God's compassionate. If he wasn't, he would never have let man live a single day beyond his creation and rebellion. I mean, that's compassion that he didn't destroy us. But then he will never fail you. I can tell you, I have failed myself. I don't know if you ever feel that way. I failed myself. I mean, I'll do really good. Blew it. It's easier just to be honest about it and to move forward. But God, he will never do that. And you think, well, what about the church, Dave? I mean, the church does a lot of dumb things. Sure does. Church does a lot of dumb things. Let's everybody have a big hearty amen. Amen. Church does a lot of dumb things. The church is not the perfect reflection of God. Jesus is the perfect reflection of God. That would be Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, right? And the church has done a lot of dumb things. And again, the church has done a lot of great things, right? Nobody, not a lot of people saying that, but a lot of dumb things. Well, Dave, there's one church. In God's kingdom, there's one church, the ecclesia, but it has many parts, and there's a lot of different elements to it. And just because a word has a concept of universal doesn't mean that particular denomination is universal any more than anything else. Here's the bottom line. The ecclesia are the called out of God. Called out from where? The world. And God calls you into fellowship with him. Good enough. I am a companion to all them that fear you. That's what King David said. If you would have said, well, David, he was a Baptist. I can't fellowship with him. I'm Pentecostal. Or if you were to say, David was a Pentecostal. I can't fellowship with him. I'm a Baptist. Now, how ridiculous would that be? It'd be absurd. The absurdity is unbelievable. God's compassionate. He won't fail us, and he won't destroy us. That's good. Because I think we've almost destroyed ourselves multiple times, but he won't do that. And then it says this. He won't forget his covenant with your fathers, which he swore to them, which means he'll never forget his commitment to us, which means he'll never fail you. He'll never forget you. He might let you go through 10,000 things you don't want to go through. Join the club. He might not let you win the lottery. Join the club. He might have a lot of things happen in your life. Join the club. I always think of Ziggy, the cartoon. I don't know if you guys remember Ziggy in the old cartoons, the old days. But Ziggy looked up to heaven, and he said, why, God, why? And a big finger points down and goes, why not? It's like, there you go. Enjoy it, man. You got to relax and enjoy the ride. He's in charge of this process. You can either get on his train or fall over on the tracks and then get run over, and that's a bad idea. God will never fail you, ever fail you. He loves you. He's committed to you. He stands by you. He will correct you because he loves you. Get it? Got it? Keep it and hold on to it. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then. And everything we find.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.